Well, last night was fun. I know for some of us, we were part of the Light Up Stephenville Parade, and so we had the van all decked out with Christmas lights, and we're getting to drive through town. I know it's just such a fun feeling when you get to this time of year to see people that kind of have this new joy that seems to revive them a little bit, and I think we really need that after kind of a tough year that we've all struggled through. But what a great opportunity it was for us just to get to be a part of that. Thank you to Hubert and Gail for some Christmas decorations, as well as to Whitney and Taylor, and to a lot of little kiddos that were really, really excited to wear Rudolph noses and light up little hats and all that kind of stuff. Even Taylor, he was one of those kiddos excited, I think, to wear one of those Rudolph noses. I want to make sure everybody knows that you're invited tonight to a special devotional time right here in the auditorium at 5 p.m. So we'll have all of our classes meeting in here together at 5. It'll be a fun chance that we have just to celebrate being together right after Thanksgiving. Also, our family Bible class has been working on some videos that have been put together about parables that they've been studying. And tonight you'll get to see some of those. And we really encourage you to come and be a part of that, to see that, and encourage those families that were part of that. And I hear there's even maybe some outtakes that are part of it, so it's always good to get a good laugh in as well. So tonight at 5 p.m. right here in the auditorium, we'll all meet together for that time of devotion. On Wednesday, December 2nd, we'll have our next youth open house over in the Family Center. That is for 5th through 12th graders. It starts at 6:30, goes till 8 o'clock. Just a time for everybody to come and get to hang out, play some games, enjoy some snacks, and maybe even do some homework if you need to still do things like that. So encourage our youth, 5th through 12th grade, on Wednesday night at 6:30 to come to our youth open house. Also on Sunday, December 13th, we will have our youth Christmas celebration that we get to be together. So I don't know on the exact time yet for that, but it will be on that Sunday evening. The Hearns have graciously said that they would host that for us, so there'll be more information coming out on that for our youth group Christmas party. Also, don't forget, on Wednesday, December 16th, we have our community Christmas dinner. Lee wants to meet with anyone interested in helping next Sunday, December 6th, between services. So feel free to stop by and to contact Lee if you need to or if you have questions. And this will be in place of the Night of 100 Casseroles for this month. So it's a great opportunity we have for our families to be here and to be part of serving this community. And what a great time of year it is, because there are so many that are still in need. And we are a very blessed people. And God has allowed us a great opportunity to serve the Stephenville community. Let's pray together as we get started with our worship today. Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence together. Father, we know that you are a God who loves us, a God that created us and saw us as his masterpiece. Father, we rejoice today in knowing that you have called us your own. Father, as we get into the end of this year that's been such a crazy, wild year, Father, we ask for continued blessings on all of our family and all of our friends. Father, help us to have the strength, the courage, and the health we need to continue forward serving you. Father, we thank you for opportunities we have to reach out to this community. Help us to be a light to those that are around us. Help us to support those that need support, and Father, to give to those that are in need. Father, I ask that you be with us now as we worship together. Father, open up our hearts. Pour your spirit into us, Father. Allow us to worship you free from all distractions of this world. Father, knowing that you are a God who is in control. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Let's stand this morning and sing together. Now, I know for some of you who sing this song, this is a Christmas song, right? And for some others, they'll say, oh, well, we celebrate Christmas all year round, right? So that means that some of you are going to be singing because of the joy of the season, and some of you are going to be singing because of the joy of the sacrifice. God sent his son so that we can have eternal life. God sent his son to die so that we could be rejoined to him. To me, that's cause for joy. Because What Jesus did, he did on purpose. Now this morning, we're going to sing this song, and then in a moment, I'll lead the next song, and I will go sit down, and I want you all to sit down as well. We'll sing a few songs in preparation for our time with the Lord, the Lord's Supper, communion. Let's sing together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Let's be seated. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ.
Would you bow with me as we pray? Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this time and this day, the blessings that you give us, the blessings of life, and especially the blessing of your Son and the great sacrifice that was made so that we have the hope of spending eternity with you. Father, as we partake of this bread and think about the blessings that come because Christ was willing to go to the cross, give himself up so that we might live, be with each one of us now as we partake. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Lord, as we partake into the bread which represents Christ's body that was given upon the cross, may we also be grateful and mindful of the blood that he shed on that cross for our sins. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, Father, we pray that we'll be mindful of that great sacrifice that you provided so that we can have the hope of spending eternity with you. Be with us now as we partake of this cup that represents that shed blood and gives us hope for the resurrection that we have in Christ. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise him all day long. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
David's going to speak with us this morning about the joy of our relationships and the thankfulness that we have for each other. And this COVID time of year is a little crazy. We're sitting there in communion, and I get a blurb across my phone screen that says that the number of hospitalizations is now higher during our season than it was back in the spring. And some of us want to make light of our situation and feel like this is just normal flu. Some of us want to take this a whole lot more serious. My wife and I have a daughter in Oklahoma City. She just took a position there with the COVID Center in Oklahoma City. And she says this is going to get a lot more serious before it slows down. But even in that, and even in possible changes that we'll have because of all of this going on, I pray that we will continue to have the joy of the Lord, that we'll continue to strengthen each other. I don't care if I can't go to your house and see you. I can still call you. I can still send a letter of encouragement. I can still FaceTime. I can still do a whole lot of things to encourage, and I hope you will too. Let's sing together about the joy of the Lord, because our bond is different than what the world has. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hold it. If y'all are joyful, you're going to have to notify your faces, because right now I'm looking out there and I'm not seeing it. Okay, let's stand together and let's sing. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong and deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. We definitely we've arrived upon a new season, it seems, by the temperature, and it's supposed to get really cool the next 2 days, so bundle up. Like was said, I want to talk about joyful relationships today, and we need to be thankful for that. When we were looking at topics for last week, and talking about our different activities that we've continued to do during the COVID season, it was really exciting, I thought, to see all the ministries that we've been able to continue to do. But I thought one of the things that maybe we're not emphasizing enough is that one of the things that we should be most thankful for in this season is each other. We have such a blessing of having joyful relationships, and I hope that we don't take them for granted. And if you want something to rejoice in, come back tonight and see the video that or the videos that we put together. Megan has worked really hard with working with the families and helping them be able to make these videos, and you'll enjoy them. Plus, you get a chance to get a sample of what we've been working on in our family Bible class, and how we how we're trying to teach the children about the parables and what they mean. So come back tonight and we'll share that with you. I've come to appreciate more the relationships that we have with each other during this time. And I don't know about you, but our family has been touched by some people that we love very dearly that not only have been very ill over this, but even have died. And so, you know, while on the one hand, we're so thankful that so many just barely have any symptoms. And of course, we know there are people who are asymptomatic who have it. And we can make light of that, but it is really a serious thing for those who have suffered terribly by it. And I think we need to not take that for granted. We need to be supportive to everyone, because you never know who you're talking to, how they've been impacted by this. And you may say something not meaning to be hurtful, just kind of joking about the situation, and you may be talking to someone who's been seriously touched by it. So be careful in that. Sometimes our way of dealing with a situation that we don't like or makes us uncomfortable, we joke. And be careful to know who you're joking with if you choose to deal with it with humor. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you in humility, knowing that we really don't have much control of anything. And it's times like this that we're reminded of that. We should be mindful of that all the time. But sometimes we feel pretty secure in our ability to take care of things. And we're grateful for those moments in our life where we survive being taught a lesson. We ask, Father, that the lessons that we need to learn in this, that we will take to heart, and that we'll be more about your mission, about your business. And one thing I would pray in connection with the lesson this morning, I pray that we'll not take for granted our relationships, and that we'll nurture them and we'll hold them dear, and we'll try to make them better. And in places where we need to work on our relationships and make them better, we pray, Father, you give us wisdom and know how to do that. I pray, Father, as I speak on this subject this morning, that you'll bless me with words of wisdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to use as my text this morning from Philippians 4:1, but you may want to just have your Bibles ready in Philippians. We'll be kind of all over the place in the book of Philippians. I'll not go outside of Philippians this morning, so that'll make it easy on you, but you may want to see it in your own Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." I love this passage because it tells how special this church at Philippi is to Paul. And while Paul is in prison, he's writing back to this church that he loves so dearly. And he's telling them, please remember, I love you. No matter what happens to me, don't forget that I love you. He may not ever see them again. He wants to, but he's not sure that that's going to happen. And so he wants them to know that he loves them. Now, this is not the first time that Paul has done this, because he's talked to them back in chapter 1 in verses 3 through 11. And you may want to look at this passage again. We'll read it. He's told them, because of the specialness of their relationship, he considers their relationship with him joyful. Let me look with you in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and the praise of God. I want you to notice some things about this relationship. The reason why he says it is so joyful to have this relationship with him. First, he says, I have a thankful remembrance of you. When he looks back on how they met and how their relationship started, he has this thankful remembrance. When I look back in Acts chapter 16, of how he began his relationship with the church there, before he had even planted a church there, he started developing relationships. Remember, Lydia was a part of this church. The lady who was selling purple, who had a Bible study and prayer time with some ladies by the riverside, and Paul taught them the gospel. That was part of his thankful remembrance. Or the Philippian jailer, that was part of the early church at Philippi. You see, it started well as Paul remembers, but yet when he remembers, he also remembers that he started off by being in jail there. That was not a comfortable situation. And yet he says, I am thankful every time I remember you. My relationship with you overcomes the difficulties that I dealt with when I was there. Secondly, he has this joyful partnership. He says, it wasn't just me coming and preaching the gospel there. You were partners with me in that. And you've continued to be a partner with me. Everywhere I've gone since, you've been a part of preaching the gospel all over the world as you've supported my ministry. So we have this joyful partnership. He said, we have this confident outlook. We know how this is going to end. We know how the story ends. Jesus is coming back to get us. That's so exciting to think about the fact that, hey, no matter what happens in this life, we know it's going to end well. So we have confidence in how it's going to end, that God's going to bring to completion what he started in us. He says we have this shared affection. We love the same things. We love the same people. We love the same Jesus. We have this same affection. And that's something that we are joyful about. And he says, we have mutual prayers. We're praying the same thing. We're praying for each other. We're praying for the kingdom. We're praying for those who are lost. We're praying for those who are ill. We have the same prayers. That's a joyful relationship. I encourage you in your relationships, if you really want to bring joy to your relationship, apply these five things to your relationship. Remember together. With thankfulness, the development of your relationship. Talk about how you're partners together in doing good things and enjoying life together. You're in partnership with one another, with those that you have good relationships with. You have a confident outlook. And I hope that you can say that about your friends, those that you're close to, those that you have a joyful relationship with, that you know it's going to end well in those relationships because you're Christian brothers and sisters together and you know how this is going to end. And if you want to make it a really joyful relationship, turn someone who is a friend who doesn't have that confident outlook into someone who has confidence in their relationship with the Lord. And also, love the same things. Talk to each other about what you love. You love the same people. You love the same mission. You love the same Jesus. You love what you're doing together in service to God. Make that a part of your relationships and they'll be joyful. And pray together. And pray for the same things. And when you're not praying in person together, pray together for the same things. I have a lot of people that I'm involved in prayer with by texting. And it's so good to know that I can text a brother and ask him to pray for something, and I know he's going to do it. He's not going to say, well, you know, give me a little hand sign on his text, you know, and then he's going to forget about it. I know he's going to continue to pray for what I've asked him to pray for. And that brings joy to our relationship. So I encourage you to apply these five things if you want to have joyful relationships. But if you have these joyful relationships, you need to be thankful for them. Don't take them for granted. Thank God constantly for people. Notice the language in chapter 4, verse 1, that Paul uses in talking about his relationships with the Philippi church. He says, you're dearly loved. Not just loved, but I love you dearly. You're beloved to me. You're special. Look at the relationships that you have. And if you can't say that you have people in your life that you dearly love, then create some. Because if you really want to have joy in your relationships, have this feeling that there are people in your life that you're actually dearly in love with. And secondly, have family with your friends. We say brothers and sisters, and sometimes I think we just think it's a biblical term, that it really doesn't apply anymore. We don't feel the same way anymore. I hope we do. I hope we feel that we really have family. For some of us, the church family is closer than biological family. In fact, for some, the only family you have is your church family. And I think we need to not take that for granted. We need to realize that there are people out there in the world who dearly need what we have. They need family because they're not going to have family any other way. They're desperately searching for family, and they may not even realize that that's what they're hungry for, that they're hungry for that kind of relationships, but we can be family for them. And we need to realize we need to be thankful to be able to do that. I love this idea of longing for them. If you've been separated from a loved one for a period of time, maybe you have someone in your family who has been in military service and they've been stationed somewhere and you long for them to get home safely, then you understand what Paul is saying. To begin with, Paul doesn't know what his future is going to be. And he doesn't know whether he's going to see them again or not. And by the time he does see them, what will be the state of the church? What will have happened to those people that he loves so much? And if the church goes in the direction that so many other churches have gone, there's going to be persecution that's going to come up. How serious will that persecution be? Will some Christians be put in jail? Will some Christians lose their lives at the church at Philippi? Paul is longing to see them because he does not know whether he'll really ever see them again. We need to have that feeling about our relationships and not take them for granted. At any moment, it could be the last time we see each other. At any moment, it could be the last time that we speak. What will be the last words that we say to each other? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about if your casual conversation with someone on a Sunday morning as you're exiting the lobby, if that were your last words, how valuable would they be? What kind of sense would they make in their life for the future? What kind of impact would they have? What would be their remembrance of you? Oh, that was the last words that he said to me or she said to me. We need to not take our relationships for granted. He says, you are my joy. This is different from what he said earlier in saying that I rejoice in you. Here he makes it a noun. He says, you are my joy. You are a joy to me. Another way of translating this could be delight or cheer. You bring this to my life. You are a joy to me. The best illustration of this, and I couldn't have given this illustration back several years ago, but grandkids, they're a joy. They're a joy to your life. At least mine are. You know, last week we had them for a week. Our kids in Fort Worth had to work all last week while their kids were out of school. And so we had them around the house with us. And I loved every day that they were with us. They're a joy. And Paul is saying that with the same kind of tone, I think, about the church at Philippi. You're my joy. I just cheer with God over you. I'm just so excited for you. Whatever you accomplish is my accomplishment. I'm just feeling so great about my relationship with you. That's how we should feel about each other. That's how the church should feel about everyone in the church. You're just a joy to me. Can you imagine having the feeling for everyone in the church like you feel about your grandkids? About their accomplishments? You know, you go and you sit through their programs and their little baseball games where they run the bases in the wrong direction, and you cheer them on anyway, you know? They get up on the stage to say their lines, and they have stage fright, and they can't come out with a word, and you cheer them on anyway. And that's the way it should be in the church. We cheer each other on regardless. The next one is interesting. Paul says, you're my crown. Now, we know, we sing songs about, you know, we'll come to the day when we're standing before Jesus and we'll lay our crowns at his feet. And we talk about exchanging our cross for a crown and that sort of thing. But here Paul says that the church there is his crown. Now, in some ways, crown is used for reward, that you get a crown. In the days of the Olympics back then, you received a wreath as a crown if you won. And that might be what he's talking about. But crown is also used for the idea of fulfillment. In fact, sometimes you'll occasionally hear the idea of a crowning achievement. That's the background of that word, that you reach a fulfillment that you had in mind. You reach the climax. You've come to the point of the whole goal of everything about it. One of the things I think we need to understand about the idea of a crown is that Paul is saying, in you, I see the achievement of what our mission is. Not only that we're going into the world and making disciples, but I'm seeing in you that you are making disciples. I mean, the crowning achievement, in my opinion, of mission work is that we make disciples who make disciples. That we help people not only become like Jesus, but they help other people become like Jesus. Because in reality, you haven't really become like Jesus until you help other people be like Jesus. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. And to really achieve that, we help others to become like Jesus. And I think that's what Paul is saying. I see in you Jesus. That's my crown. That's my greatest achievement, is to see Jesus in you. And he uses this term, dear friends. Sometimes I think in church settings, we don't emphasize friendship enough. It's sometimes too religious for friendship. Sometimes our best friends are people that aren't in the church. And that's kind of the way we want it to be. In fact, some struggle with having friendships in the church. It somehow gets in the way of church. Then maybe we need to think about how we're defining church. If you have friends anywhere, it should be in the church. If if we struggle with having friends in the church, but we easily make friends outside of the church, what is that saying about us? What's it saying about our ability in making friends, and what's the criteria upon which we make friends? And what does it say about us as a church if we have trouble making friendships within the church? Paul did not hesitate at all to write in this letter to a church and the members of that church saying, "You are my friends. You're my dear friends." It makes me think of when Jesus said to the disciples that I've called you servants, but now you're friends. Because that's the love we have for each other. That's the way we serve together. I want you to think about how this impacts our relationships. If you have this kind of joyful relationships, what should you do? I want to take you back a little bit above the section we're studying this morning. And look in chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. Notice what it says. "All of us then who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." First thing, if you have joyful relationships for which you're thankful, you need to help them grow. In fact, if we really are thankful for the joyful relationships we have, we will not let our friends, our brothers and sisters, remain childish. That's just against the instinct of good relationships. I want my brothers and sisters, those that I am in love with, to grow. And if there are childish behaviors, childish ways of thinking in their lives, I'll try to help them grow past that. You know, I'm the older brother in my family, and I have a younger brother. And he had a speech problem as he was growing up, and he had trouble saying certain consonants. He just couldn't make them work. And some of the words that he came out with, and I'll not illustrate, people made fun of. And sometimes he could say some things that would get him in trouble because he had trouble pronouncing things. Well, I just felt like I just couldn't let my brother continue to get in that kind of trouble. And I would really work with him on saying things. And I would, in my early days of my life, I was learning how to help someone deal with speech problems because I was working so hard with my brother. And I still have an interest in that. In fact, working one of the sidelines that I've done in my career is working with people who have had a stroke that are having trouble learning to speak again. And I love doing that kind of work. And I think it started with trying to help my brother get past that problem that he was having in pronouncing words and sounds. If you really love your brothers and sisters, you'll not let them stay childish. If somebody in the church is acting in a way that is not mature, is not spiritually mature, if we really have a good relationship, we need to be helping them to grow up. And if we're really in love with each other, we'll accept people helping us if we need to grow up. Brothers and sisters, we can't just say, "Well, that's so-and-so." It doesn't work that way. We don't have that kind of relationships that we'll put up with people doing childish things, immature things, sinful things, just because, well, that's who they are. That's just them. You just have to tolerate that. No, we don't have to tolerate that, because we want to grow up together. We want to mature together. We want to help each other be the best that we can be. And Paul said, you know, we have a responsibility to at least be as mature as the level we've attained. And we can't say about each other, oh, well, that's just that person. Secondly, notice that we need to have this relationship that we set an example for our brothers and sisters. Verses 17 through 19, it says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Paul said we need to be concerned about who people are following, what example they're following, and we need to model for each other the right example. And we need to encourage people to follow the right example. If you really love someone, you won't let them follow the wrong crowd. And yet sometimes we think, oh, you know, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to sound like I'm gossiping about somebody. I don't want them to get the wrong impression about judging other people. Well, listen, if your brother and sister are following people that are going to lead them to destruction, we need to warn them. We need to lovingly say, hey, follow my example. Follow this group of people. Don't follow that group of people because they'll lead you astray. They'll cause your destruction. Paul was plain enough with the Philippians. He says, I love you too much to let you go after people who are living for earthly things instead of living for spiritual things. Follow my example. And then notice the next verses, verse 20 through 4:1. Let me read it to you. For our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, dear friends, if you really love someone, you won't let them go to hell without a fight. But I don't think we take it seriously. I'm not sure that we believe there really is a hell. I don't think we really believe that we can lose our souls. And if we are concerned about that, maybe it's just we're concerned about ourselves. Because sometimes we say we love each other, and yet we're not interceding. We're not getting involved in keeping them from losing their lives spiritually. I would like to think that we love each other enough that we would warn each other if we were about to step out in front of a racing car. We would yell, we would scream, we'd reach out and pull them back. But do we take it as seriously about the direction they're going with their spiritual lives? When we see brothers and sisters behaving in such a way that they could lose their souls, do we take it seriously? If we really love them, we'll fight for their souls. But listen to me in this. This is important. If we really love them, we'll remember that our fight is not against them. Our fight is against Satan. It's not against them. We lovingly bring them back. We restore them in kindness. We help them to understand that they're going in the wrong direction out of love and let them see that love in us. They're not the ones we fight with. We fight for them against Satan. And oftentimes churches are crippled by brothers and sisters who are going in the wrong direction and setting the wrong example and sending the wrong message to the community. And people within the church know it. They know it shouldn't be that way. But we don't stand up for each other. We don't fight for each other. We don't intercede and say, hey, you can't do that. If you keep doing that, you're going to lose your soul. If we're really thankful for the relationships we have with our brothers and sisters, we'll say, hey, I love you too much to let you go down without a fight. This morning, brothers and sisters, I hope that of all the things that you were thankful for this Thanksgiving season, I hope your list included some of us. I hope on your list, somewhere in there, some of us in that church directory showed up on your list. If we didn't, where's the problem? Is the problem with us? Is the problem with you? We need to rethink. What's our highest agenda? Where's our highest love? What brings us the greatest joy? I would like to think, based on the way Paul spoke about the Philippian church, the church should be right up here at the top of the list. Thanksgiving Day, as we got to the house of our grandkids, and we started bailing out of the car and getting chairs out to have our lunch out in the yard. Annie pulled us into the house and said, "You got to go right on the board what you're thankful for." And she had this whiteboard all set up, ready for everyone that came to dinner to write up on the whiteboard what they're thankful for. Now, I cheated, okay? I admit, I had a head start on you because I knew I was preaching this sermon. But I put up there the Graham Street Church of Christ. I would like to think that that would have been up there whether I was preaching this sermon or not. I do love you. What about on your list? Is the Graham Street Church of Christ up on that list? Do you have specific people in mind? When you think about things that you're thankful for, is it this church? We ought to be a people that make up a family of friends that are held together by the bond of Jesus Christ. A bond that is so tight that Satan can't cause us to lose sight of who we are and how we love each other. That's what we need to be. And Jesus said, if we have that kind of love for each other, the world out there will know we're his disciples. Your first step in evangelism, brothers and sisters, is loving each other. And if we do, it'll make a difference to the people in the world. This morning, if you're struggling in a relationship with a brother or sister, I encourage you to make that right. If you want to help someone that maybe is going in the wrong direction, I encourage you to get involved, change their direction. If you look at your life this morning and you see you're not setting the right example, I encourage you to change it starting today. And if you need to go to someone and say, hey, look, I haven't set a good example for you, I'm going to change. Would you pray for me? This morning, let's make a commitment that in the coming days, we will be thankful and joyful about the relationships we have in the Lord, starting here in this church. Let's stand and let's sing the next song together.
You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
We got through it. All right. We're going to have a closing prayer with our shepherds. And go ahead and be seated for a minute in case there's any announcements.
Thank you for being here this morning. It's been a blessing to be together. I have a couple of announcements. Most of you probably know Bruce Caraway's been in the hospital quite a bit this week. He did get to come home yesterday, but he's awaiting results to find out exactly what was going on. We've had a couple of losses in the family. Al Steele lost his mother. There'll be a graveside service at the Lone Oak Cemetery in Dublin on Monday at 1 p.m. And also Barbara Sissom, she lost her son this week. And there'll be a graveside again at the Lone Oak Cemetery on Tuesday at 1. So remember all these in your prayers this week. Thank you, David, for that lesson. I was reading this morning in Hebrews, and I think this ties into some of what he was talking about. In Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us. And we're thankful that we can have that relationship with you. We're thankful that you sent Jesus. We're thankful for that sacrifice that was made that makes all things possible and makes us clean again to where we can be in that right relationship with you. We're thankful for people that you put in our lives. They're such a blessing in many ways that they are a strength and encouragement to us. And may we be a strength and encouragement to one another. May we always build each other up and be there for one another through the hard times in life. We know that these people in our lives help us to get through this life, and may we take opportunity to encourage others. Thank you for all that you do, for all the blessings you give. Help us to serve you this week and help us to look for opportunities to be a blessing in other people's lives. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us this morning. Don't forget, tonight at 5, we will all be back here in the auditorium for a devotional time together, so we hope you can be here for that. I think kind of going off of some of what David was saying as well, you know, I think it's so easy for us to find ways to connect with each other now that sometimes we make it too easy. I have actually been enjoying the last 48 hours that I don't have a cell phone right now because mine just decided yesterday morning to die. And one of the worst parts about that is every time I get ready to go somewhere, I start doing this, looking for a phone. But then at the same time, it's been a true blessing because I was at a football game yesterday, and at halftime, it got to halftime, no band was playing, nothing was happening. There was just kind of this quiet moment, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I almost don't know what to do with myself because normally I would pull that phone out and start looking at my phone, start seeing these things. But it allowed me to sit and start thinking about people I need to talk to, things that I need to get done. And sometimes I think we let the distractions in our lives get in the way of those relationships. So as we go out this week, know that we have incredible opportunity to reach out to those that we have great relationships with, and maybe those that we have struggling relationships with, or those that we need to get to know. So we are always given wonderful opportunities. So as you guys go out this week, look for those around you that you can reach out to and make contact with. We'll have a song playing, and hopefully we'll see you this evening at 5 p.m.